This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All aboard! Welcome to the Friskies Express. Please keep all paws and tails inside the train. To the right, you'll see Crunch Canyon. To your left is Filet Falls. Now you're passing Party Mix Peak. Today's delicioso tour is almost over. But don't worry. With Friskies, there's always more to explore. Check out friskies.com to explore more.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shubman Gill Appreciation Podcast. I'm Jack Hope, and I'm joined by Ross Legg to celebrate the achievements of a generational great, really announcing himself in a huge contest, a playoff game in the IPL. Ross, it's sunny outside. Is it sunny in your heart after that innings?
It has brightened my day. Some of those shots just absolutely incredible. And when you've got someone like Siakouma Yadav on the other side, you had to go big, right? And Shubman Gill was unbelievable today. He was elegant, brutal, and won Gujarat this game.
Yeah, he certainly did. We are, of course, going to be talking about Gujarat Titans v the Mumbai Indians in Qualifier 2. We had some suggestions. We've been batting around ideas. We were calling it Sexy Game 2 earlier in the week. Why don't they call this match the Challenger? So you got, I think, through the playoffs, just hear me out and then we'll talk about the cricket. Showdown between first and second. That's your first game. Replace Qualifier 1. Eliminator, keep the same. Challenger.
I think it's definitely better than Qualifier 2.
Yeah, it is. The Gujarat Titans, they are the team that will be the challenger for Dhoni's Chennai Super Kings. We'll talk about that a little bit. Part one of the show will be all about the game in question. Ross, we're going to do a word from sponsors, but first off, what I would say about that match, A, highly, highly entertaining, and B, for a game that, what was the margin of victory? 60 runs? 50-odd runs? It was a pretty close 60-run win. that game was live for quite a long time until Mohit Sharma and Josh Little effectively kind of managed to wrap it up.
Yeah.
A good cricket match.
Yeah, I thought so. And the way you say, like, a close 60-run defeat or whatever it was, it's kind of just like, yeah, we lost 3-0, but we were in the game. We were really close. And I thought Mumbai actually, as we were talking about on the podcast earlier this week, they did try and show what they were all about here. And someone like Tilak Varma coming out, well, I think it was 48 or 14 balls. You've got to just respect kind of the approach that they went out with and the aggression that it wasn't completely out of the equation, right? 2-3-3 for most of the teams in the IPL is just so far above where they're ever going to hit, right, with their lineup. And Mumbai, for parts of it, they had me worried.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got up to, with most bookmakers, a 40% chance, I think, when Green and Sky were batting. So, well in the game at that point. Ross, I said we'd talk about the sponsor. The sponsor in question is Sirius Cricket. What are Sirius Cricket?
They are our UK equipment provider for all things cricket. So if you want a new bat, a new helmet, new gloves, a new box, go to seriouscricket.co.uk, click onto the equipment page, sort what you want, put it in your basket, and then put code TCP23 for 10% off. They've provided our cricket club's gear. I don't like cricket club. For the last, 5 years? And it's always been spot on. So if you're looking for that, go to their website and use code TCP23 for 10% off.
Absolutely. And if you're over on YouTube, and what I've noticed, Ross, with YouTube is that more and more people are starting to watch our live streams after they're live. So we used to have quite a big live audience and then it tailed off. Now we get like about the same size live audience, but more people watch later. If you're watching live, say hello in the chat. Like, we want to hear from you now. And if you're watching later, you know, leave us a comment, hopefully a nice one. And whatever you do, make sure you click that thumbs up and subscribe. Ross, what happened in the cricket? Can you do the summary? Max isn't here.
Yeah,
I could do
course.
A summary if you want, but you
go well, bash. We could do a half each.
Well, let's do that then. You start, and then I'll take up the story.
So when we were previewing the game, we said that it was going to be critical that the Mumbai Indians didn't let Gujarat Titans get to the second half of their innings with kind of the middle order still intact, right? And the way in which Gujarat went about this, they were pretty methodical, if I'm perfectly honest. Ridhwan Saha, Shubman Gill, but they were okay in the first three overs. And then Ridhwan Saha got hit in the helmet and all hell started to break loose. He was suffering probably from some kind of minor concussion. He got stumped down the leg side from Piyush Chawla. Sky at the other end was just going, I'm the
Sky,
best cricketer.
Gill.
He was going, I'm the best cricketer in the world and I'm just going to smash things. Not like little sixes. Like the Modi Dome is massive, right? Then there's one side that is a little bit spoiled. But these were 70, 80 rows back into the crowd. And it was the most clean hitting you are going to see in an IPL game. On our Discord, we were saying, is this the best T20 innings of all time? It's a crunch match. It's against an awful bowling lineup, let's be fair. So maybe, maybe not. But here, it's a contender, I think it's fair to say. He blitzed at 215 strike rate, 129 off of 60 balls. And I think it was well supported, I think, by Sai Sudarshan, who probably should have retired an over or two before he did, which I did like. Hardik came out, played a captain's knock, as you'd expect, and Rashid Khan did what he does. It was fair to say that this was... It was brutal here, and you saw the best bowlers of Mumbai in Mardwal and Piyush Chawla get targeted for the really quite punishingly, and Chris Jordan did what Chris Jordan does.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular from the Titans and mainly from the main man Shubman Gill. Anyway, it then came to Mumbai Indians to kick things off, but they were without their opening batter Ishan Kishan, who'd been elbowed in the face by a red card.
I'm surprised he didn't get sent off
by Ingram fast bowler Chris Jordan and was suffering from a concussion. So it was Rohit Sharma and Nihal Wadera who came out. Big ask, I think, for Wadera, who was obviously there to kind of pinch hit. Didn't manage to, well, he troubled the scorers, but not particularly extensively. And same can be said for Rohit, 8 off 7. So not the ideal start. And things got a little bit worse, Ross. Because Cameron Green was pinged on the upper arm, the upper left arm, his front arm, by Hardik Pandya. And you could see, even from the camera on the boundary, and they're not the best cameras, and it was quite hazy. There was a lot of interference in the pitch, but you could actually see the welt coming up and from the seam where it had hit his arm. He looked in bad shape. He went off retired. And that brought Tilak Varma in, as you were saying. This is where the chase kind of got interesting. It looked like Mumbai were effectively 20 for 4 because we didn't know whether Green was going to come back out and bat. Tilak Varma, he did not care about that.
Was this the part where you punched yourself in the arm because Kevin Peterson told you to?
I didn't. This is a joke. but Kevin Peterson, if you were listening on commentary, he was trying to explain anatomy. And he instructed people at home to use their knuckles to, punch themselves, basically. Punch yeah. And then he said, now imagine what that would feel like if it was a cricket ball. It was, well, whatever. Tilak Varma, he came in. 43 or 14 were the stat line that he walks off with, which is nuts. A strike rate of 307. One Shami over. Shami, who's been the best bowler in the power play by miles in this tournament, by the way. He took him for 24. Four consecutive boundaries, four of the four variety, then a two, and then a six to finish things off. It was pretty scintillating stuff. Suryakumar Yadav at the other end was kind of feeling his way into the game, scoring a little bit over a run of ball. I think he knew he was going to be the main man and Mumbai's big hope of victory. So, you know, you'll give him that. And it meant Mumbai propelled themselves to 72 at the end of the power play. What was a little bit gutting was that last ball was when Rashid Khan chose to sort of, mix things up a little bit, and he was got one of the few balls in the entire match to spin, and straight enough to get Tilak Varma, which wasn't, you know, a great shame and had an impact. Anyway, you know, we move into the innings wraps up quickly. I'm not going to go into loads of detail, but the middle portion, this is when Mumbai, by most, you know, predictive models and the bookmakers, the Betfair Exchange, anyone basically in the know, suddenly thought Mumbai have really got a chance here. Green and Yadav built a nice partnership and got it up to a situation where they needed, I think, about 12 and over off 10 overs. And I think at that point, had they managed to go another three or four overs near the rate, they would have been favourites. Like, big ask. It is a big ask. And this is what the value of runs on the board is. It means any slip up and things sort of can quite quickly drift away from you if you're a batting team. And that is kind of what happened. They got it close. They probably got up to about a 40% chance of victory, which is nuts when you think about that 233 score and the fact that they actually lose by 62 in the end, that they were properly, and really need to emphasise this, properly in the match when I always want to call him Chris Green, but I held up there. Cameron Green was bowled by a returning Josh Little, who actually had a pretty decent impact on the game with that wicket. Sky kept the fire burning for just a little bit longer before he fell himself, bowled round his legs, then completed the world's longest walk off the pitch. You know, he'd still be there now if the umpires didn't hurry him up. And things, as I said, sort of did wrap up quite quickly. The scores for the bottom half of the order, 5-2-2-0-6-3. Three not out, Jason Berendorf. And that was it. Mumbai, the much-vaunted batting lineup, it went punch for punch with Gujarat for a while. But I think basically, Ross, we need to give mega, mega credit to Shubman Gill, who helped Gujarat to a total that actually was a bit too much for the monster batting unit. Like, Gujarat did what it didn't seem it would be possible to do. They batted Mumbai out of the match, and the main man there, I mean, I say Gujarat, Shubman Gill batted Mumbai out of the match. Was, you know, amazing stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think what you saw here is, like, it's now a second century of the IPL this season, and you just saw someone in red hot form. And today there was shots all around the ground, and it wasn't that piece where you're sitting there going, "Oh, he has to do a scooper in there." Just such clean hitting, and he seems to just have full trust in his game. And I think that is just sort of at the peak of your powers. It looks fantastic. There was bits on Twitter saying he's the best all-format player in the world right now. Liking the hyperbole very much so, but he's definitely in the conversation right now.
I mean, he's certainly this season in the IPL. I mean, if you want to talk about all-format greats, I think there's some things that you need to do, aren't there? You need to have a statement IPL tournament. You need to do some stuff consistently in ODI cricket. Maybe not a statement IPL tournament, but a statement T20 competition. I think either a World Cup or an IPL, or you dominate a couple of other leagues. Mm-hmm. And you need to score. You need to have a good year, I would say, in Test cricket to really establish your credentials. Going into this IPL, he hadn't had a commanding IPL, like a statement IPL, a great IPL. I don't think he'd ever have been in a team in the tournament. He's going to walk away from this one pretty much certain to be MVP, I would say. So that's a huge tick there. He's got a double century in ODI cricket. Pretty decent there. It's Test cricket's the last one. He's got the World Test Championship coming up. There is a real, real chance that you know, in 3 weeks' time, he is undisputed number one. And it's off the back of this. Ross, do you want to know his last six innings? It's amazing the end of the season he's had. And I will say as well, like, Mumbai's bowling isn't good. But I don't want to go in too hard on them, because they're effectively irrelevant in this conversation. I think Shubman Gill, in this match and in the last sort of six matches of the IPL, has been at a level which is just not normal. Like, it's far beyond what you're supposed to be able to sustain in cricket. Like, he's doing some things that are nuts. Last six matches starts with 94 red against Lucknow Super Giants. Pretty decent. Then he goes 101 v Sunrisers, 104 red v RCB. I think there was a six in there against Mumbai at some point. So he did have one failure. He's top scorer for Gujarat in the last qualifier, where they, you know, they did lose, but he stood up in that. And then 129 in Gujarat's first must-win match of the season.
Yeah, I think I said second century, didn't it? It's third century, like just incredible.
And as we say, plus a 94 like, red.
and T20 cricket, we know, is such a high variance game, and like it's sometimes difficult to do this podcast and not try and criticise people. It's really quite nice when we get to go onto this and just be like, wow.
I mean, like you just however you want to break it down. If you want to talk about the beauty of the shots, the timing, the sound off the bat, like the way he stands up on those pull shots and. You know, but also can like get forward to spin and just kill spinners back over their head. That's remarkable. Or you want to do it a statistical way? When he was out, Ross, the rest of the team had 68 off 50 runs, and he had 129. 68 off 50 balls, and he had 129. He was scored 79 runs per 100 balls faster than the rest of his team. That's madness.
Look, when the team's got the ball, you pass it to Messi, right? As you're
it was. And I think actually, I mean, like Siddharthan, he ends up being retired out. But a little word for him. While Shubman Gill was batting like this, just turning the strike over, it was one of the few times where just getting one was like the absolute best play. I mean, I think the only critical thing I can really say about Mumbai is that they weren't able to keep him off strike. Like he faced a huge number of the balls that were bowled while... Well, I think it was like, you know, upwards of 55%, nearly 60% of the balls that were bowled when he was out had been to him, which is a little bit high. Yeah, you know, marvellous. I do have a question, which is a little bit critical.
Of
but
who?
Not of Shubman Gill. Tim David, how's he feeling right now?
Yeah, well, he dropped Shubman Gill, which was, let's be fair, an easy catch. Like I
thought it was easy. Yeah.
Like the commentator was just like, "Oh, that's such a difficult one." I'm just like, he's got two hands for it. He's literally got to the ball early. He
didn't hit it hard as well. It looped up to him.
He clothed it, and you're kind of sitting there going, oh. "So I think he dropped him when he was on 30." And to be fair to him, he did catch him when he was on when he was out for 122, whatever it was.
129. Yeah, cost him 99 runs.
Yeah, that is bad. I mean, I've been in that boat. I remember playing in a game when we were younger where I dropped someone on about 10 runs and the ball hit me straight in the stomach, lower abdomen. And the guy went on to hit a century and we got absolutely battered. So, Tim David, I've been there.
Yeah.
Similar scale, I think. Three Bridges versus Glynde.
I remember that game. Yeah, it was... It was absolutely devastating. There's not a high enough level of praise for this innings. I think it's sometimes when you've just seen something good, you can overemphasize how good it was and be a little bit prone to hyperbole. But I think you can look at all T20 innings ever played right now, and I think you can say that is one of the greatest. I think there's no doubt about it. It's if you were going to make a list of the greatest T20 innings, you would have to have this on your shortlist for number one. Might not be the best. I mean, I think like it's Chris Gayle got 175 off 66 balls. That and in that game, he also took two wickets for five runs.
He had what you call a day out.
So that might be the best if you were going to be statistically nerdy about it, but you've got to factor in like the run of games he's on, the sort of skill and the timing and the circumstances. Also, it was difficult to bat early on. You know, it was just after that big rain shower, so the ball was swinging around and Beredorf had it nipping about a little bit. So he had to survive a little period of time. And then unleashed on, like you were saying, Mumbai India's best bowlers. Like Chawla's had an absolutely fantastic year. And Madwell, he's just off the back of taking 5 for 5 in the last round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and he got in his head, didn't
balls,
he?
Yeah, some of those balls are in orbit now. They're up there with the Tesla and the International Space Station zipping around Earth. It was crazy. It was fantastic. It was like really, really, really fantastic stuff.
Yeah. And look, I think that should bring a close to the loving of Shubman Gill, but it was a fantastic performance. We did talk about it on the show a couple of days ago, saying that, do you know what? The Mumbai bowling lineup isn't brilliant. And everyone knows it isn't brilliant. And today it really just did show how it was lacking. But yeah, I think it's getting to this point with the injuries that Mumbai had, I think is a successful season for them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shame as well going out to that innings. Like, if you're going to get, it's, you know, that's not normal. Like, it's, that's probably going to be an all-time great who's played one of their all-time great innings. Right, Ross, should we take a little break and then we'll come back and I don't know, we'll put a couple more points.
We'll try and preview the final, shall we?
We've got a couple of more points for this match and then we've got a preview for the final.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All aboard! Welcome to the Friskies Express. Please keep all paws and tails inside the train. To the right, you'll see Crunch Canyon. To your left is Filet Falls. Now you're passing Party Mix Peak. Today's delicioso tour is almost over. But don't worry. With Friskies, there's always more to explore. Check out friskies.com to explore more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cricket Podcast. I'm Jack. Ross is with us. Patreon is where we're going to send you. Head to the show notes, patreon.com/thecricketpod to support the show directly. Or if you know, if you're watching on YouTube, you could do what Sudip that has done twice and send us a super chat. So first of all, he said, if only somebody had told you that Shubh Goat would be this good, which, you know, to be fair, we have to acknowledge. I think probably a couple of years ago when KKR decided to retain Venki Iyer over Gill, I reckon the pod consensus was probably that that was a very marginal call that they might have got right. Like, not that much in it. And now look at them. And I mean, look at Gill's career trajectory. Even last year, he got quite a lot of runs, but they weren't quick runs. It's a serious step up in quality. And then second, will we continue the proud tradition of India having the best cross-format batsman? Well, it's certainly on, isn't it? I would say. I mean, I don't know who would you have anyone.
I thought that was Pakistan, Sudip. I thought Babrazam was the best one.
Johnny Bairstow's got to have a shout.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, like, it's, I mean, we don't know. I mean, like, he's just coming back from a broken leg, so there's a lot going on there. But you'd be hard pressed to knock out, like, you know, Bairstow, pretty dominant in T20 cricket, extremely dominant in ODI cricket, and just had an insane year in test matches. I don't know. A team of Johnny Bairstow is a team of Shubman Gills in a five test series. They have to bowl to each other as well, so it's gonna be five draws, followed by a five match ODI series and a five match T20 series. I can't think of anyone else seriously in that conversation. Can you?
There's probably one or two we're being very critical of, but let's just say no.
Yeah, between those two, which is, you know, pretty decent. Pretty decent. Ross, we should talk probably just a little bit about Mumbai Indians' reply. Obviously chasing this 233. It was a little bit of a shame, I thought, that injuries played a role here, I think.
And Kishan was on a bit of an upward tick as well in terms of his form. And I think that base up top, as much as we talked about it, saying that they've kind of got freebies, right, when in the opening up. I think having Woodhera actually down the bottom of the order gives it a little bit more firepower and a little bit more balance. When Kishan was injured, I was actually surprised to see them do that. I thought they would have just gone, do you know what, Green, you go out and open up. I didn't think there was much, but I guess they kind of thought, if we can get off to a flyer, this makes it worth it, and almost kind of that pinch hitter type role.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I thought it was a little bit of a waste of a resource, which had done quite well for them later in the innings, but I suppose they had to make some sort of decision there.
Should have Chris Jordan be like, mate, you've taken out Kishan, you get out there and hit his bloody runs, mate.
I think the other thing that it destabilised slightly is because they have a good left-right combo going on, and if you've got two leg spinners, basically, in Noor Ahmed and, well, they are leg spinners, they just use different arms. I think having that balance later in the innings would have helped. Obviously, Ishan Kishan's a lefty as well. So you'd have three lefties in among all these big right-handed hitters. And I think that could have helped a little bit with managing the spinners, but also that there was one 62 meter boundary, wasn't there, and the other was 68. So there was there was a little bit of an advantage maybe to be gained there. Ultimately, it really came down to Suryakumar Yadav, and I think we should spare a thought for him. He was obviously really like he's a little bit of an Erling Haaland kind of character, I think. Like, he just goes out and scores these runs, but he seems to do it quite dispassionately. Like, it just sort of seems to happen, and I don't know if there is kind of more machine than man sometimes, but he was obviously really gutted, wasn't he?
Are you suggesting that India have managed to create an AI being, and it's a form? Unsurprising, I reckon it would be a cricketer, and then but Norway went for an AI one, and we've created a robot footballer. I quite like that piece, actually. Yeah. If I'm perfectly honest, Sky is some of the shots he was playing are unbelievable. And I think there's going to be some people out there who'd be like, why the hell was he going after that shot? I thought the ball was in that position to do that shot. And it's one that he's bloody brilliant at. So you've got to live by the sword and die by the sword in these situations.
I thought that was part of the reason it took him so long to leave the pitch, actually. He'd gone to play the shot. The ball was right there and he'd missed it. Like, he was thinking that should have been landing in row 10. Not knocking my leg stump out. And then, like, I think as well, just in this innings, we should acknowledge Josh Little coming back into the team and doing pretty well to slow the rate down. He takes 1 for 26 off his 3 overs, but I think obviously makes a big difference getting Cameron Green out. And Mohit Sharma again, 5 for Ross. He bowled 14 balls. His strike rate is under 3 for the match. He's not gonna have many better days, is he? Than that. I know he's cleaning up the tail a little bit, but he also gets Suryakumar Yadav, doesn't he? And Vinod as well, who was the last recognised batter. Pretty decent there.
Yeah, and I think you've seen it throughout this IPL, really, when he's been playing, that he's come back. As was being said in the commentary, used to play for India. He's got the variations, and he's got kind of the temperament, and now bowling with confidence and. The environment that Ahmedabad boys must have in their change room is fantastic. You've got all of these players pretty much putting in some of the best performances of their career in the short format. And to do that repeatedly and have that across the team suggests that their environment and their team culture and their approach is absolutely spot on. They've definitely got real role clarity, is what we kind of typically look for. They've got a varied approach in terms of how they win games. And they've got the trump card of the Tawatia factor. So who didn't even need to bat today? It was
or bowl. He did have an argument with Hardik Pandya about something, but yeah, that was his sole contribution. I mean, there was a small point. It was interesting. They sent Rashid Khan, didn't they? With the short boundary, they decided not to use Miller or Tawatia. Which he got 5 runs off 2 balls, pretty justified. And a final shout. We're not going to talk about him in detail. Rashid Khan also picks up 2 wickets. He's probably going to be eclipsed in the MVP race by Gill unless he does something in the final. But
what I thought was interesting,
pretty decent season.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting, everyone. So Simon Dawe was saying in commentary that Rashid Khan had bowled 3 of his overs inside the first 10 overs, and that kind of shows you what the game was like, right? In terms of what they had to, bowl their best asset, cricket's best spinning asset in T20 cricket. And they had to bowl kind of 75% of his overs in that first 10 because Mumbai were fucking going for it. It's not the way to put it. And the fact that, they got out, not out of jail, but there was a big risk involved in that. And yeah, I think they did the right thing.
27 wickets, strike rate of 14.2 this year. And he's got 130 runs with a strike rate of 224.
Yeah, he's turning into a handy all-rounder.
He isn't going to win MVP. I think it will be Gill because
runs are a bit more impressive than wickets. That's just
cricket.
True.
Cricket loves batters, but I reckon there's probably a statistical argument you could make that Rashid Khan should be the MVP. I like the narrative of Gill. I think the next generation, the passing of the flame when he takes down Kohli. Then to do this, to play that innings in a knockout match, it means he'll, from a narrative perspective, be very difficult to look past. But when we're a bit more mature and we look back at things in a few years, perhaps we'll say that one was an injustice. Ross, the final. That means it will be the, I think it's the fourth match between Gujarat and CSK this year. Makes sense. And I think that's maths. we saw in the qualifier one, the showdown round of the,
so
of the
I've been thinking about this, Jack. I think the first one should be called the challenger. And then that one, the one that's just gone, should be the showdown. Because then use the showdown to get to the final. I think I prefer that way around. But okay, please continue.
Yeah, well, I was thinking showdown between first and second to see who's the best and then challenge it. But yeah, whatever. CSK won it pretty convincingly, mastering the Chepauk conditions. If today's game's anything to go by, the conditions will not be as in favour of CSK in this match. It's Dhoni's farewell, though. And we know that the power of narrative is strong. Which way do you think this is going to go? Do you think we're going to see the Gujarat cricket machine come to town and take down CSK and crush Dhoni? Or will we get Mr. Vibes? Mr. Vibes winning the match.
From the start of the tournament, I've said that the narrative is way too strong. And I think in the last kind of couple of years, we have seen narrative take over logic in different sports, particularly in cricket. And I think on this occasion, I'm going to have to stick with the aura. I think there is just something about the almost like the will of over a billion people, typically. Or like the people just turn up to see Dhoni. And the fact that he's kind of going, is this my last year? Is it not my last year? I think it's fantastic. I think them playing against Gujarat are going to give them one hell of a game. I thought Gujarat got their team selection spot on today as well. I think leaving out Shanaka was the right thing to do. And yeah, I think CSK will be sitting there going, right, what is our best 11 here to take on the Modi Dome? Because it's not, as you saw today, it wasn't turning. Today, I think two or three balls spun, which caused a wicket. The other two relatively harmless, and that is a big part of the arsenal of Deekshana, Ali, Jadeja, and yes, they're going to have to really rely on people like Deshpande, who I'm not sure is going to be that suited to getting carted by someone like David Miller repeatedly.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, they're going to have to think about how they might get Shubman Gill out as well. Like, I wouldn't say it was a road today. I think Shubman Gill made the first innings sometimes tough conditions look very easy. And then Mumbai had to go ballistic, so they end up bowled out for 171. Whereas, you know, I think had they been batting first, they'd quite comfortably made 210. But you have to kind of gamble to get yourself in the position to get the extra 20 runs. I thought it was interesting today. Kumar Kartikeya in the first innings bowling finger spin, he only went for 15 from his two overs. That, you know, Rohit, for whatever reason, decided not to use any more of him. So maybe there's something there for the finger spinners. Maybe we'll see a little bit of Jadeja. I'm not sure. I do think overall though that these conditions, as you said, are relatively. Or are fairly different to the Chepauk, and I think probably overall favour Gujarat. If I was gonna place a percentage on it, and I'll get you to do the same, and then we'll talk about maybe some key battles. Mm-hmm. I would have Gujarat as like 56-57%. Like, I think there's they're a reasonable favourite without it being nuts. What do you reckon?
Well, I think Gaikwad and Conway can bat in any conditions, and they've demonstrated that this season, both home and away. I think the middle order is pretty strong, other than Rayudu, who I can't believe keeps getting games. I think Patarana has really, really impressed so far. But I do think that there's slightly more in the arsenal for Gujarat on this pitch. I think it's probably 55%. To Gujarat Titans and 45% to CSK in there. But yeah, the Dhoni factor is big. And there's going to be, what, 100,000 people in that stadium? How many are going to be cheering on Rashid Khan and the lads versus how the deafening fans of Yellow Love? I don't know.
I think it will be reasonably yellow. There were big queues a couple of days ago
this is a fucking disgrace. What are the BCCI doing? Like, if you saw some of the videos, people could have died. in that, all to get cricket tickets for. So they just do it online. There's been massive problems with kind of black market tickets. There's been a huge problem in protecting the safety of fans. Sport should be something that people can go to without the risk of getting hurt, unless you're getting a ball from Tawatia hitting into the crowd. And yeah, it's like for an organisation who, let's be fair, makes the most money, has the most power and has the most clout in terms of kind of influencing kind of the government and stuff like that, I think it's a massive, massive misstep from them. And it's put a little bit of a dark cloud on the IPL, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They were getting people to queue in 45 degree heat, like to buy tickets. It's like you can do this on an app.
Yeah.
And it's like, it, you know.
And they would turn around and be like, oh, not everyone's got access to telephones or whatever. I just don't believe you. I just don't believe you.
All right, let's talk some key battles then. Where do you see the game being won or lost? Number one battle that you believe is out there.
I think up front, I think you hit the nail on the head of how do you get Shubman Gill out up front? The power play is going to be so, so important for CSK. And I think you'll probably see something tried a little bit different. Potentially they might open with someone like Ravi Jadeja and try and mix things up a little bit. Gill seem to be quite watchful against some of the pace early on and then take it down in the next kind of couple of bits once he's found his footing. So I think that is a key battle. I think how do they get the right people in at the right time for CSK in that middle order? So Rashid Khan's overs are going to be really, really important, but they've got some fantastic players of spin. And so I think that's where Gujarat Titans use Rashid Khan, and then how to CSK actually adapt in game you with their batting positions, etc., and try and control what's happening in that position. I think there are two areas that I'd be quite interesting to see how they play out on Sunday.
Yeah, I think definitely the spin of Gujarat v CSK's middle order will be really interesting. The CSK, they're kind of, everyone's, mocks them. Nobody mocks them, I don't think, but they're a little bit left-hander heavy, aren't they, through that middle order. Will that be an advantage? Won't that be an advantage? Will Noor Ahmed cause some trouble? I'm interested in seeing all of that. It's not really a battle, but there's another kind of thing going on here, isn't there, with Gaikwad v Gill. Like, Gaikwad started the season really early, really, really well. Has been playing some good cricket, scored a stack load of runs. Been playing probably at a harder venue. Then you've got Gill, who's started slow, finished strong, like the guy in Step Brothers. And now it's time for the big finish, the crescendo. I'm interested to see which one of those will kind of come out on top. I mean, it's been Gill's tournament so far, but Gaikwad on the down low also put some stuff together. He has a buddy as well. You've got to remember this. He's very much a duo, a part of a double act, whereas Saha isn't really up to the job, is he? I'd say with Gill. And so like those two opening combos, how they line up, and it isn't a battle that we'll see in the match, but I think that will go a long way to determining the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Sudeep's just asked for a super chat. Who is going to be the MVP of the finals, if you have to guess? So is it just the final, or is the finals like in America where you consider the whole thing? I guess let's just do the final. MVP of the final, Jack.
MVP of the final.
Is that the mode? I think there's going to be runs. I think you can put your hat on that maybe one of the top would go there. I think that there's going to be a big score from somebody. Is it going to be Gill kind of continuing his run of form? Devon Conway has had a fantastic season, an absolutely fantastic season. It was a toughie.
I mean, I think the best bets are Gill, Gaikwad, and Conway. I think. And then bowling wise,
Rashid Khan.
Mohammed
Shami has had a fantastic tournament. He fell apart a bit today. He dropped that catch
hilarious catch.
Kevin Peterson kind of said on the Discord, someone said, "Lucky he didn't break his nose." Literally, it came out and somehow didn't get anything on it. But he's been fantastic. 27 wickets. He's been fantastic. I don't know. Patarana in the chat's very popular as well.
I mean, Patarana's an interesting one. I mean, like, I think if we were to go back to battles, if CSK fail to take wickets until they get to the death, and then it becomes Patarana v the middle order, I think that will be a really interesting battle. Like, can they get after him, or will he maintain his excellent performance so far in the tournament. You know, that is a really interesting one. And I suppose as well, Shami v the two CSK openers, like they, you have to, I think, against CSK, prize one of them out, you know, to break into the I wouldn't say the soft underbelly, because Rahane's been batting well, and you know, the good, you know, Dubé's been blasting sixes for fun, but you've got to put them under a little bit more pressure, a little bit of pressure. Anyway, it could go either way. I mean, I think we both think that Gujarat are slight favourites, but anything could happen.
It's the magic, isn't it, mate? That's the magic.
That's sport, baby. Ross, we're up to 40 minutes. We're going to do a slightly shorter show today because of the rain break. We're starting later and we've got shit to be doing in our lives. We'll be back on Sunday, though, for El Finale, 7 p.m. UK time. I think that's 11:30 IST. Make sure you hit like, make sure you hit subscribe. We will see you then for Chennai Super Kings v Gujarat Titans and the end of the IPL. That's it. Another year in the books.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.